Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number, chapter 5, verse number 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know and seek in the broad places, whereof if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Then Jeremiah, through divine inspiration, folks, writes verse 5. Watch this. I will get me unto the great man, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible and how it helps us, dear God. And Lord, I don't think there's anybody in the room tonight that does not understand the difference between men and God. If they've been in this church very long, we know, dear God, that you are the only one, the only sinless one, the only perfect one, the only one that's almighty. Lord, I thank you, dear God, though, for the men and the godly men and the godly women that you've allowed to have influence in each and every one of our lives. And tonight, Lord, as I talk about four men, dear God, if there is greatness there in their lives, we understand where it came from. Help us, Lord, to learn. Help us to learn from others. Help us to learn from good examples that you've put in our lives, dear God. May we echo Jeremiah's sentiments here. I will get me to the great man. Oh, Lord, help us to guard who's having influence in our lives. May we follow the Bible, and may we follow those who are following the Bible. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I may preach a message similar to this several times. Because I think that there are other men that I would like to bring to the pulpit of Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And so this may not be the only message this year that I preach entitled Great Men and What They Taught Me. I was thinking and meditating upon the four men that God allowed to be my pastors. I've had four men pastor me in my lifetime. And I just simply wrote down their names, and then underneath their names, I wrote down some things that they taught me. And then, in order to make sure that we did this in a timely fashion, I said to myself, what is probably the greatest thing that I learned from each of these men? I'm going to give you one thing that I've learned from each of the men who I, at one time, called pastor. And it's not the only thing that I learned from each of them, but I picked out the greatest thing that I've learned from each of them, and I hope that I can pass these things on. And by the way, when we get to the end of the message, if you'll think about these four things, I think you will see the influence of those things in my ministry, and I think you will see the influence of those things as we emphasize them on to a new generation at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. The first pastor I had was Pastor Elmer Evans from the Rock Run Baptist Church north of Brazil, Indiana. Folks, let me just say this. He taught me the gospel. He taught me the gospel. Let's just start there. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Notice verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. When our family walked into the Rock Run Baptist Church for the first time, we weren't there for very many weeks until we discovered that we were in a gospel preaching church. Folks, we need gospel preaching churches all across America. We need churches, we need preachers that'll stand up and declare the gospel, declare the fact that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. Elmer Evans, if you met him, was an unassuming man, a quiet man. I think if he was in the auditorium tonight and he heard the And he heard the title of the message, Great Men, and what they taught me. He would probably blush, and he would probably dip his head down, and he would probably shake his head no, because he never saw himself as a great man, which might be why he was a great man. And you know what? He understood that somebody had told him the gospel. And when God called him to preach, you know what he decided he was going to do? He was going to spend his life telling other people the greatest news, come on, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so he preached and he taught me the gospel. Now, folks, the very first tenet of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. You know, you cannot preach the gospel without preaching against sin. You cannot preach the gospel without demanding that men confront their sin. And you know what? I'm glad that Pastor Elmer Evans got up and unashamedly got up behind the pulpit and called sin what it was and declared sin to be what it was. By the way, he didn't just preach against sin. He had the audacity to name it. To name it. I think there's a lot of preachers that will preach against sin in general, but they will not preach against sin specifically. You know why? Because too much sin is running rampant in the pews, and the pulpit is fearful that maybe they'll offend somebody and somebody might leave. And sometimes, sadly, maybe even for financial reasons, a man will not call out sin by name. But I thank God that little country preacher wasn't afraid to come on, get down into my life and point out the sin, specific sin in my life. You see, folks, the gospel is useless unless we understand that we're sinners. The gospel is useless to us unless we repent of that sin, own up on that sin, fall under conviction of that sin, and wish to turn from that sin. How can the gospel have any effect unless we first face the fact that we're sinners? And so Pastor Elmer Evans, he preached the gospel. He taught us the gospel. He taught us about Jesus Christ. You can't preach on the gospel without mentioning Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, he is the Savior of the world. Amen. You can't preach on the gospel without preaching about the cross. And you know what? Just a basic country preacher that just kept coming back to the basic aspects of the gospel and preaching message after message after message, and helped the Ross family realize that we were sinners, but that there was a Savior, and that Savior was willing to die on the cross. And you know what? Thank God for the doctrine of the resurrection. He was buried, but he rose again the third day. And folks, listen to me. You know what? Let's pass that on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Come on, in our junior churches, let's just keep preaching the gospel. You know what? In our primary churches, let's preach the gospel. In Sunday school class, let's teach the gospel. Come on, from the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, regularly, let's make sure we're emphasizing the gospel. You know what, folks? I'm talking about a pastor, Elmer Evans, Rock Run Baptist Church years ago. If Jesus tarries, you know what? I believe if in the 50 years that God's given us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, thousands of people can point back to this little church outside of Jacksonville and said, that's where I first heard the gospel. So number one, Pastor Elmer Evans, Rock Run Baptist Church, Brazil, Indiana. Great man. Why? Because he preached to me the gospel. Number two, second pastor I had was Pastor Felix Griffith. He preached at the Trinity Baptist Church of Brazil, Indiana. And the one thing is, I think back, by the way, I was very young when I attended the Rock Run Baptist Church. I was very young when I attended the Trinity Baptist Church just in my elementary years. But the one thing that Pastor Griffith put into my heart and passed over and on to me was this. He taught me to be soul conscious. He taught me to be soul conscious. You know, my first preacher, he brought me to Christ. He preached the gospel. He told me what I needed. My second pastor, you know what he did? He said this, you need to go tell somebody else now. And as an elementary kid, he got that into my heart. I mean, because I was under the ministry of Pastor Felix Griffith, I began to get on as an elementary student. I began to get on a public school bus and look around and think about the fact that other people on that bus wasn't going to heaven. I began to get on the bus and begin to picture other kids on that bus and thinking about them dying and thinking about them going to hell. And you know what? Something began to burn inside of me. I was honestly a very backwards kid, pretty much a pretty shy kid. And, But there was something that was lit inside of my heart, inside of my soul. It was a concern for my classmates, a concern for people around me. And young people, listen to me. I'm glad that you have been saved, and I'm glad somebody gave you the gospel. But that does not end your responsibility. That begins your responsibility. It was, come on, the Apostle Paul that said, I am debtor. I am debtor. Somebody gave me the gospel. And how do I pay that back? You don't pay it back. You pay it forward to the next person that you share the gospel to. I can remember under his preaching, it was the first time I began to stop by the track rack at the Trinity Baptist Church. As a little boy, it's the first time I pilfered out of the church track rack some of those This Is Your Life chick tracks. And somebody goofed and some of the other ones. It was because of the influence of Pastor Felix Griffin that I began to carry those in my lunchbox to school and begin to pass them around during the lunch break or hand them to somebody on the bus. And I can still remember the first time one of my classmates came running over to me carrying that gospel track and said to me, Jerry, you've been handing me these things and handing me and I've been reading them. And last Sunday when I went to our church, I walked forward and I got saved. Amen. Folks, listen to me. Thank God for a preacher that put that into my heart at a very young age. So we have Pastor Elmer Evans, Rock Run Baptist Church. He preached unto me the gospel. He taught me the gospel. Pastor Felix Griffith, Trinity Baptist Church, Brazil, Indiana. He taught me to be soul conscious, soul conscious. Third pastor, while we were at the Trinity Baptist Church attending there, my father walked the aisle and surrendered to the gospel ministry. That's the church that he was called to preach in. That was the church that he was licensed to preach in. And you know what? Soon he became a pastor. So my third pastor was my father, Pastor Robert Ross. You say, preacher, what's the greatest thing he ever taught you? By the way, that was hard to narrow down. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, my father had such an incredible influence in my life. And there are so many things as I think back that he taught me, that he ingrained in me, instilled in me. And, you know, I mean this, folks. It doesn't always have to be this way. But I often am asked about the history of our church, or I'm asked about the church in general as I'm out visiting. And I'll tell the folks, especially I said this a lot this year as I was going door to door. I said, you know what? I said, our church is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. And I would tell them, I said, you know what? My dad got to started the Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 1973 in a guy's living room. And I would often say this, you know what? It is an honor. I would say that. I know I've said it 100 times this year. I'd look at somebody and say, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to carry on the church that my dad started. And so, my goodness sakes, folks, how do we narrow it down to one? And if I had testimony time, honestly, those of you that were influenced by my dad's ministry, we could have a whole variety of different perspectives and things that you learned or things that you remember. But I think all of us would probably center in on this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, what was the most important thing of all the things? Listen to this, very simple. He taught me to be balanced and he taught me to be consistent. He taught me to be balanced and he taught me to be consistent. You see, folks, Dad just was a plotter. Can I say that? And I don't mean it disrespectfully. I say that as a high compliment. There's too many sprinters. You know what we need? We need some plotters out there. What does that mean? You know what? That means he just got up every day. And you know what? He read his Bible, spent his time with the Lord, and then he rolled up his sleeves and he just went to work. He just pecked away at it every single day. He was steadfast. He was unmovable. Watch this. He was always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know, he taught me just to go to work every day. You know what? If you'll just go to work every single day of your life, it's amazing how much you can get done in a year's time. Right. Folks, if you'll just peck away, I want to say this. If you'll just peck away at visitation, okay? If you'll just go consistently every week, and if you'll just set aside a certain number of hours, and if you'll just knock on doors for that amount of time, in a year's time, it's amazing how much you can accomplish and how much you can cover in a year's time. Well, listen, folks, it's not fireworks Christianity, all right? It's not all boom and wow and then it's gone in ashes. You know, folks, you know what we need? We need men and women that'll just faithfully, come on, walk therein. I said it this morning, just get on the path and walk it every single day and be consistent, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Hey, you know what? I'm glad to be able to share that to you because this has nothing to do with talent. Now, my dad had some talents. But you know what? What made him a great pastor and a great preacher wasn't his talents. It was his consistency. It was his faithfulness. You know what? You say, preacher, I don't have as many talents as this person. I don't have these abilities. Hey, can you just show up every day? Come on, can you just pray every single day? Pray every single day. Can you just read your Bible every single day? Watch this. Can you just walk in the church every single service? Can you just get a part of a ministry, an outreach ministry, bus ministry, or Operation Occupation, or nursing home ministry, and just pick a time, and every single time that ministry meets, or every single time, every week, just do it. And if you'll do that, you'll be amazed at what the Lord will allow you to accomplish in a lifetime. Let me give you the last one. After 1979, by that time, right before I went off to Bible college, God called me in the ministry, and I went off to Bible college, and Pastor Jack Hiles, First Baptist Church of Hammond, was my pastor. Now, again, I was there for 8 years, and I could write a long list of things that I learned from Brother Hiles. But I want to give you this one. He taught me to have a vision. He taught me to have a vision. And folks, you know what? I needed that. I went to the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And, you know, I left here, Jaysville, Indiana, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I went up there and, you know, obviously a larger church, larger ministries, larger opportunities. But one of the things that I noticed right away is that Brother Hiles was always thinking and always trying to come up with one more way to get the gospel to somebody. You know, what about the deaf people in our area? Let's start a deaf ministry. What about the blind people in our area? Let's start a blind ministry. What about the equitable slow? Let's start a special needs ministry. And I understand, folks, that very few of us can leave a large ministry like that, come to a small area and duplicate everything. But the one thing that I did pick up from him was this. You know what? Always be thinking. Always be asking the Lord, how can we do better? How can we reach more people? How can we be more efficient? How can we get the gospel to more folks? And because of that, I think the Lord has allowed me to have a vision and continue to grow a vision here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Hey, you know what? Last Sunday night, it was important to Pastor Jerry Ross. We don't have vision night just because it's something to have on the calendar. You know what? I believe what Proverbs 29:18 says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And you know what? Every single one of you, I want you to get a brand new vision for a brand new year. Hey, Sunday school teacher, get a new vision for that Sunday school class. Come on, nursing home people. Let's get a new vision for those nursing home ministries. Hey, bus captains. Hey, you know what? Just act like it's your first week next week of being a bus captain and look at it through new eyes and drive through the neighborhoods like you've never seen them before and claim it by faith. Claim those areas by faith. Ask God to help you to find the people that he wants you to find in 2024. And you know what? Get a vision. Get a vision. We're starting a handful of new ministries this year. We're restarting some ministries we've had in the past. Why? Because you know what? I don't want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to ever lose its vision. Now, let me give you some summary observations. And this isn't the beginning of the message. This is the end. All right. But let me just give you that. Now that I've said that, okay, so I had a pastor, my first pastor. Thank God he taught me the gospel. And my second pastor taught me to be soul conscious. You know, my third pastor just taught me, hey, you know what? Show up every day and just be balanced and consistent. Just stay at it. Just stay at it. And day in, day out, week in, week out. Just be faithful and consistent. My last pastor, before I pastored, you know what? He taught me, hey, you know what? Lift up your eyes. Come on, lift up your eyes. Look at the harvest. It's out there. Somebody needs to get it. Somebody needs to get a vision on how to bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. And you know what, if you think about those four things that my pastors taught me, how many times have I tried to treat those things sacredly and pass them on to the next generation? Let me give you some observations. Number one, live a life worth copying. Live a life worth copying. You know what? Think about that, folks. Somebody's going to copy your life. Somebody's going to replicate who you are and what you are. You have influence on somebody. So live a life worth copying. Number two, allow great men and great women to help mold you. Okay, folks, listen to me. Sometimes we get this knee-jerk reaction, and you know, next thing you know, somebody wants to throw out the man worship accusation. Well, you know what? Jeremiah, this is King James Holy Bible, said, I'm going to get me to the great men. You know what? I'm going to learn of them because they know the ways of the Lord. And you know what, folks? You can learn really incredible things from imperfect people. And so, you know what? Allow great men and great women to help mold you. Number three, don't let the faults of great men keep you from learning from their lives. Let me tell you something I see too many people do. And I think they set themselves up for failure because they'll put somebody on a pedestal that they should never have put them on. And then you know what? They'll just, next thing you know, it's like they're talking more about this person than they talk about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, maybe that person falls off that pedestal, or maybe they see them in a weak moment, or they disappoint them. And so you know what they'll do? They'll have a knee-jerk reaction the other way. And they'll just say, well, then everything he was and everything he taught, it must have all just been fake. You know, that's not true. You know, folks, listen to me. Really great men have made really great mistakes. But you know what? Every single thing that they ever taught you that was right is still right. And every bit of the Bible that they taught you is still the Bible. And so be careful that you don't let the faults of great men keep you from learning from their lives. Let me give you number four. Don't just learn great character traits. Live great character traits. Don't just learn great character traits. Live great character traits. You know what, folks? Listen to me. Elmer Evans taught me the gospel. I'm glad he gave that to me. But I don't want to just receive it. I want to live it. And you know what? I've spent a lifetime giving to other people what he gave to me. You know what? Pastor Felix Griffith, he taught me to be soul conscious. You know what, folks? I've tried to teach our church to be soul conscious. And I've tried to live in such a way where I'm aware of the lost souls around me. You know what? It's one thing to learn. The character traits of being balanced and consistent, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. You can know it. You can learn it. Let me ask you, are you living it? Are you doing it? And then you know what? You can watch somebody else have a vision and say, you know what I learned from him? I learned that, you know what, we need to have a vision. Well, do you have one? And so don't just learn great character traits, live great character traits. You know why that's important? Watch this. Because people are going to learn more from you by watching how you live than listening to what you say. And so live it out. Let me give you the last one. Number five, pass to the next generation the greatness you observe from the previous generation. Pass to the next generation the greatness you observe from the previous generation. You say, preacher, what is this old time religion Sundays all about? I'm going to bring in 10 men that, you know what, know about an old time religion and a time in this country and preachers that most of us will never have the opportunity. Most of you will never have the opportunity to hear. You can't go and hear them anymore. But you know what? They learn from them. And this is kind of what Christianity is supposed to be like. You know, we learn the gospel. We receive the gospel. We're taught the gospel. You know, then we get saved. Then we pass it on. But not just that. You know, what we said under great men, and we listen to them and we learn from them. And then we get those truths. And now, you know what? We're the steward of those truths. Okay? I can't bring my dad back to preach behind this pulpit. But you know what I can do? Think about this. I can stand here and preach to you the truths that he preached. You know, I can't bring Lee Robertson back for another special meeting. Oh, I wish I could. Two different times. Dad had him come to Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You know what? Can't schedule him anymore. Hey, folks, Lester Roloff's not on the, it's not on the, he's not on the banner back there. But all of these men that I learned something from, these great things that great men taught me, you know what? I can pass down to these young men. And so pass to the next generation the greatness you observe from the previous generation. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Good enough for me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for what you've done. Lord, thank you, dear God, for the people that you've placed in our lives. Paul, through divine inspiration, wrote out, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Lord, thank you, dear God, for the people in our lives that are following you. People that we can emulate, people that we can learn from, or people whose character we can replicate in our own lives, who are an encouragement to each and every one of us, Lord. Thank you for the preaching of the Bible. Use it, dear God. Lord, use it in my heart. Lord, please use it in the hearts of your people tonight. Lord Jesus, we love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ.